today we're actually going to be talking about kingdom rest. The Bible tells us when God created everything in the story of creation, on the seventh day, he did something very particular. What did he do? Does anybody know? On the seventh day, he rested. And so when it says that he rested, it doesn't mean that God then went on a vacation or that he took a nap or he took a break. It actually means something very specific in the context of the kingdom. Now we're going to look at Matthew, which is right here, 11:28, and it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The rest of that verse says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, in this scripture, the Bible is telling us, he's encouraging us, he's actually admonishing us to rest. He's actually saying, hey guys, it's okay for you to take a break. He's actually saying you need to find time to rest. The Bible is telling us that it doesn't matter what your life looks like. You can be in ministry, you can be a pastor, you can be out on the field. You can just be navigating the ups and downs of life, like being a parent. That's a lot. Washing dishes, going to work, doing all of the things that you have to do on the day-to-day. It doesn't matter what it is. The degree of what you do or the caliber of what you do doesn't matter. What he's telling us here is no matter what you do, you need to rest. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's not something that we fit in whenever we have the chance. It's something that we should be doing on the regular. And so there are moments when we need to step back and we need to take a minute and we just need to breathe and we need to get out of the hustle and the bustle and the strain and all the stresses that are pulling on us every day. And we need to just take a minute and take a breath and just rest. Now, taking a rest doesn't mean that you're lazy. Taking a rest doesn't mean that you're not committed to whatever it is that you're doing. Taking a rest means that you are taking a rest. There are moments that we see in the Bible where even Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he stepped back and took a minute and he rested. Jesus, like the ultimate man ever, he stopped and took a rest. Now, resting does a lot of things for us. It's actually really, really good for our bodies. Anybody agree with that? It actually is really good to take a minute and stop and rest because it helps you heal. It helps you revitalize. It helps you recalibrate. It helps you get refocused sometimes because sometimes there's so many things pulling on you in so many different directions. You need to just take a step back and be like, wait, I need to breathe. And so we can go and rest and rest our bodies and get physical rest. And we can also take minutes to rest our minds and actually disconnect from all of the things that are pulling at us. But resting our minds sometimes is a little bit harder than resting our bodies. Because our minds, they go a million miles a moment, a million miles a minute. And sometimes we need to be very conscious, or many times we need to be very conscious of also disconnecting that part and stop thinking about all of the things and actually taking a minute and rest. See, we can go on a vacation but still not be disconnected. You ever seen those people that are going on vacation but their work laptops are going with them? And so they're in the hotel room and they're typing away. Or they go to the pool and they're typing away. Or they're at a dinner with their family and guess what? The phone comes out. Oh, I just got to answer this email. Oh, I just got to do this thing. I see some of you are hiding your faces. I'm not going to ask you to, But see, your body is in a different place, but your mind is still spinning. Your mind is still stressing. Your mind is still occupied with work, occupied with emails, occupied with all the things I have to do, occupied with all the worries, the decisions, all of the things that are pulling on me, your mind is still on it. So your body is physically in a different place, but your mind is still going. See, in that type of situation, all you've done is change your location, but you're not in rest. And we need to be aware of this because there's so many times we do that, right? I'm going on vacation, but my phone is going with me. I'm going on vacation, but, I've got a couple days off, but I'm just going to bring my laptop. And I'm just going to work in the mornings, like from 8 to 10, that's all. Rest, real rest, is more than just a change in scenery. It's a change in pace, and it's a change in the shift of your focus. This means you can be in a storm, just like Jesus. You remember that story about Jesus on the boat, and he's sleeping downstairs, and the disciples are upstairs, and the boat's rocking, and it's storming, and the disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is sleeping. He's at rest. It didn't matter what was going on around him. He was in the midst of a crazy storm, and he was sleeping. See, when it comes to rest, we need to realize that we can be present in a situation, but we don't have to be in control of it. We don't have to be the one that is running the show. We don't have to be so connected all the time. We can be in a situation and disconnect. Real rest is when we finally come to that place where we realize that our efforts, our input, our work, our commitment, our striving, all of that stuff is not needed. Real rest is the invitation of Jesus to come to him and let him give you rest. There is a difference when we step into the rest of Jesus, when he gives us rest. See, it's not then just about taking a break. It's not just about releasing control. It's not just about surrendering the weight that you're carrying, surrendering all of the things that you have to do. It's an invitation to come to Jesus and rest from our works. And that's a big thing we need to realize, that the invitation to rest in Jesus is an invitation to receive God's grace. Grace is way better than works. Grace offers us rest from our works. It means this. It means that, you know what? God has done everything. Everything that I need, he's already provided. So he wants me now to come to him without the idea, without the intention of working, and just come and sit with him and rest and receive. Grace means that we rest in him and we receive it by faith. Real rest means in grace we realize that we are at the end of ourselves and we've given everything to him. When we finally realize that our efforts and our inputs and our striving, all of those things, when we realize that we don't actually need them to earn God's grace, that we don't actually need them to earn his blessing, that we don't need them to earn his outpouring in our life, or the breakthroughs that we need, that we don't need those things to earn, to receive the healings that we need. When we realize and we understand that nothing we can do can earn us the goodness of God, we have stepped into rest. See, Jesus didn't say, come to me and impress me. He didn't say, come to me and show me your resume. Show me your accolades. Show me all of the things you do. Show me all of the things that you did this week, this day. Show me what you've achieved. Show me what you've accomplished. He didn't say that. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. All we have to do is come. See, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're supposed to actually enter into that rest, not enter into works. We're supposed to enter into his grace, not enter into religion. And religion is the thing that bites us and traps us all the time, because it sells us this idea that in order for us to receive from the kingdom, we got to work for it. It sells us this idea that in order for us to get all of the goodness and all of the things that God has for me, we have to earn it. See, religion tells you that you have to work. Religion tells you that you have to put in an effort. Religion tells you that you got to go to Bible school, that you got to pray for 7 hours a day, that you got to fast for 3 days of the week, that you got to do this and you got to do that, and you got to do all of these things in order to receive what God has for you. Religion traps us. And the thing with religion is that it's built around us working, not around us resting. It's built around us working, not around us resting. It's built around our self-effort. All of the things that I can do. All of the things that I can accomplish. It's built around my work. See, a religious person will come to you and they will tell you all of the things that they've done for God. Oh, you know, this week I fasted for 5 days. And oh, I'm on this 40-day fast and all I'm on is water. I'll pray for you, brother. No, I mean, you know, to each their own, I guess. But religion will come to you and they will tell you all of the works that they've done as though that's some type of badge of honor. Religion will come to you and tell you of all the things that they've accomplished as if that makes them different from you. Religion will come to tell you all of the things that you haven't done, that you're missing, that you're lacking, that you're deficient in, and make you feel like suddenly God is not for you. And suddenly God is not going to move on your behalf. You will never hear the religious say, God just provided it by his grace. There was nothing that I did. I just came and I rested and I believed and he did it. See, the religious will believe that their effort is what caused God to move, that somehow their efforts can sway and influence God, that somehow we have this ability to manipulate God's decisions and change his ideas or what he wants to do based on what we can do. Well, we're not all at the same place in life, and we all can't do the same things. So that idea immediately disqualifies some of us, and some of us will then receive and some of us will never get. But I want to tell you today, friends, that that's not our God. I want to tell you today that that's not his grace. See, grace means that God does it all. Grace means that when you come to him, no matter what your situation or circumstance, you can still receive from him by faith. See, in grace, we don't become the saviors and the big guys and the accomplishers. In faith, it's him. He's the savior. He's the big guy. He's the mover. He's the shaker. He's the healer. It's him. In Hebrews 4, 10 to 11, it says this. It says, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. What grace does is this. It cuts us, or it releases us from our striving and our begging and are negotiating with God. God, if you do this, I'll do this. God, if you only heal me, I'll go to church every Sunday. God, if you do this, if you give me an answer, God, then I'll make sure that I pray every day. We become master negotiators. But grace means we let go of all of that. We let go of the begging, the asking, the negotiating, the manipulating, the trying to win his favor. Because we already have all of that. We already have his favor. Because of grace, all of heaven is already poured out in our lives. Because of his grace, we can access anything that the kingdom has. Because of his grace, it doesn't matter what letters or numbers or initials are behind my name. I can still go to him and receive from him. Just like some big fancy person that has a big fancy theological education, we can still both receive. Grace says that you can now freely receive and access all of heaven. But religion doesn't teach that. See, religion and religious people teach us this, that you got to work. And religion then becomes a barrier to the rest that God is calling us to. The religious think that going to church, reading your Bible, praying, going to Bible school, doing all of these amazing things gives you influence and gives you special favor with God. All of a sudden, you've got an in. I got an in with God because, you know, I prayed this week. Did you pray? Oh, I did. God's going to hear me. Did you fast this week? Oh, I did. You know, me and God, we're like this. We're good. Religion makes it seem like all of the things that you do will then result in you receiving something from God. It becomes transactional. So if I do this, God will do this. If I do that, God will do this. If I pray, God will do this. And so it becomes this big transactional thing where I have to do something in order for God to do something. I have to behave a certain way in order for God to respond to me. I have to pray a certain way in order for God to hear from me. I have to fast for a certain amount of days in order for God to see me. And so it becomes this transactional thing where I do, then he does. And it becomes based on what I can do. And it becomes based on what I'm capable of doing. Religion is transactional. You pay, you receive. You work, you earn. When we practice religion, a lot of times people feel better because they feel like they have something to brag about, right? I can come now and tell all the people that are in my circle, you know, I did this and I did that and I fasted for so long and that just makes me better than you. It makes us feel good about our works, about our efforts, about the things that we're doing. Because we feel like in all of that doing, we're going to earn more of God's approval and we're going to earn more of his blessings. But that's not how it works, guys. I want to tell you something today, that grace is not transactional. I want to tell you something today. The kingdom is not a meritocracy. We don't get more because we do more. We get more because he is who he is and he loves us and his grace is available to all of us. This is not about working. This is not about building. This is not about collecting things onto ourselves. This is about going to him and resting in him and believing him in faith. There is no meritocracy here. See, the world works like that. The world says, okay, if you go and get this education and you get a bachelor's degree and you get a master's degree, then you get more money. And if you go and you get this training and you get this work experience and, oh, you know, we can't really hire you because you don't, like the world puts levels and the world puts expectations on us. And the world says, you're as good as this because of what you qualify for. The world says, okay, well, you can only go this far because this is all the experience you have. But the kingdom is not like that. The kingdom doesn't base what we receive on what we've done. The kingdom gives us everything because Jesus already paid for it. The kingdom gives us everything because it's full of his grace. And so when it comes to things like attending church and reading your Bible and praying and fasting, it's not a transactional thing. It's not something that you're doing because you feel like it's going to earn you more or you feel like it's going to get you more. No, it's stuff that you do now because you are in an intimate relationship with your Savior. You understand that he loves you. And because he loves you and because he's done all these amazing things, you want to now be a better, you want to now live better for him. You want to now understand who he is and do your best for him. And so all of these things then come out of our relationship. It comes out of our love. It should not come out of works. All of these things come out of our intimacy with our Savior. It's not a formula to get more from God. It's what we do when we're in love with him and we just want to know more about him. See, these are the things that we do from rest. We don't do them to gain anything. We do them because we love him. We do them because he's amazing. Because he is a good, good father. And he has been so good to us that he provided when we didn't have. He healed when we were sick. He picked us up when we were down. He healed our broken heart. He freed us when we were bound. See, we do all of these things because he is good. And we do all of these things because he is love. And he loves us no matter what. And so I want to tell you today, friends, that you don't have to work for any of this. You just have to step up and believe it by faith. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years or 5 minutes. You can get this same exact thing by faith in Jesus. Through grace, all of the kingdom is available to all of us, no matter where we stand, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how many times we read our Bible this week. All of the kingdom is available to all of us through grace. Through grace. And I got to tell you, like, you know, sometimes religious people, they will boast about all these things that they do. But then when you get to know them, like, there's no really big change in them. You know, like, if you're doing all of these things, there should be a noticeable change. Like, you should be becoming more like the Lord. You should be more forgiving, more gracious, more understanding. And, you know, you're demonstrating better behavior every day. You're trying to live like Christ. But a lot of times, the religious will put on all of this pomp and circumstance and tell you of all the wonderful things that they've done. But then when you get to know them, they're really mean. And they're not nice, and they're not forgiving, and they're not gracious, and they don't know how to walk in all of the fruits of the Spirit. I want to tell you, friends, if we're doing these things, then we should be seeing changes in our life. If we are not seeing changes, then these things are just religious practices. And there is no impact. So getting back to the grace of God, grace has already provided everything we need. Amen? Grace has already given us everything we need. Every healing, every blessing, every breakthrough, every restoration, everything that we need, grace has done it for us. Just as you are right now, just as you sit here right now, no matter what the situation or circumstance, you can access what heaven has for you. See, grace is really beautiful because it doesn't wait for us to clean up. It doesn't wait for us to get things right. It doesn't wait for us to get our lives in order and to stop doing, you know, certain things, stop lying, stop cheating, stop drinking, all of these things. Grace doesn't require us to clean up before we can come to the Lord. Grace takes us just as we are. No matter what the situation is, no matter where you were last night, I don't want to know, but no matter what you were doing, no matter where you're at right now, I want to tell you that you still have access to all of the kingdom, all of heaven, because of grace. God doesn't put a requirement on any of us to perform in a certain way to receive from him. All he wants us to do is come. All he wants us to do is come. All he wants us to do is receive it by faith. He doesn't wait for us to get it together. Guys, some of us will take a very, very long time to get it together. Some of us will never get it together. And then what happens? We are without. But that's not God. That's not who he is. See, there is nothing that you and I can do that will shift him, or sway him, or impress him, or make him love us more. He loves you right now fully and totally and completely, just as you are, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what is hurting you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're at. I want to tell you today that God loves you totally and completely, just as you are, and you can receive from him tonight, no matter what. You don't have to perform for him. You don't have to work for him. You just need to come and believe in him. See, his love is not based on our performance, because we can never perform to earn it. We'll always mess up. That's a fact. We will always mess up. We'll always get it wrong. We might get it good right one day, but then the next day we get it wrong. Like, there's no way that we can be perfect enough to receive all that God has for us. It can't happen. It can't happen. But you know what the beautiful thing is that he knows that, and he doesn't expect it. He doesn't expect us to get it all together. He just wants us to come. All of our mess, all of our stress, all of our everything, he wants us to bring it to him and just come. See, in religion will require you to work for it. You know, you got to be involved in ministry, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. But grace inspires it. When you are in grace, when you are in love with the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will begin to bubble up inside of you. And that love and that relationship and that intimacy that you have will start to stir up gifts that are already inside of you. It'll start to stir up things that he's already given you. And suddenly you want to do all of these things because you love him so much, not because you're working to receive and earn from him. When Jesus invites us into rest, he is inviting us into his finished work. In John 19:30, it says this: when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." What is finished? Everything is finished. Everything is finished, friends. Everything, every healing that you need, every financial blessing, every breakthrough, everything that you have need of, Jesus has already paid the price, and he was on the cross, and he said, "It is finished. I have done everything that I had to do to make sure that they can get everything that the kingdom has." It is finished, friends. It is finished. It is finished. We don't have to work for it. It is finished. Jesus did all of the work. We are now on the other side of the cross. And he's inviting us to trust in his finished work and not our efforts. He's inviting us to trust in what he's done and not what we can do. He's inviting us to say, "Hey, God, I saw what you did, Jesus. You bore all of the sins of the world. You bore every disease, every sickness, so that I can now step into the kingdom and receive it. It is finished." We can now rest in the knowledge that we permanently and continuously have access to the kingdom because it is finished. No matter what you do, friends, I want to tell you, you will never lose access to the kingdom of God. No matter what you do, no matter how you mess up, I want to tell you today that you will never lose access to the love of your Father. I want to tell you today that you will never lose access to the blessings that He has for you. I want to tell you today that you will never lose access to the healing that He has for you, the blessing, the restoration. You will never, ever lose access to the kingdom. People will tell you that if you live a certain way, you're cut off from God. But I want to tell you, they're lying. Because it does not matter what we do today. It does not matter what happens. God will still love us totally and completely in our mess with all our stress. He loves us the same and He will still give us access to everything He has. We don't have to work for it. Religion will tell you you have to work for it. But I want to tell you guys today, under grace, there is nothing you have to work for. You just have to believe. Jesus did everything already. No matter what you do, You can't run from it. Like, you just cannot close that door. You cannot make God not love you. You know, people will stop loving you. People will turn on you. Friends will leave you. Spouses will, you do whatever. You know, children will turn on us. They make us mad. But I want to tell you, there is nothing that you can do that will ever make God not love you. There is nothing that you can do that will ever make God not want to bless you. There is nothing that you can do that will ever make God not want to be part of your life and move in your life and bless you. It doesn't matter what's happening. You cannot change Him. Your circumstance cannot change Him. Your actions cannot change Him. Your thoughts cannot change Him. The things you say cannot change Him. He is with you 100% all the way, no matter what. He has already provided everything that we need. This is rest. When we rest in this, that He has already provided everything I need. I don't have to work. I don't have to strive. I don't have to go and starve myself or pray for a certain number of days. It's already finished. My effort and my work is no longer required. All I have to do now is believe. All I have to do now is rest in these words, it is finished. All I have to do now is believe. In Hebrews 4:3, it says this, we who have believed enter that rest. Rest is believing or using your faith. It is finished. He did it already. It is finished. My breakthrough is already done. It is finished. See, we don't have to work for what He's already provided. We just have to believe for it. We don't have to put on a big show. We don't have to make sure that our P's and our Q's are on the T. We can just believe for it. See, when you rest in His faith, it doesn't matter what you've done. All you have to do is believe. God has already provided. See, believing is one thing, doubting is another thing. Because when we doubt, we actually cut ourselves off. Sometimes it takes a minute for faith to kick in. And that's okay. It's okay to stand here and work through it. It's okay for your faith to take a minute to kick in. But then if you start doubting and start saying, well, God, I don't know if you're really going to do this. I don't know if you can really heal me. I don't know if you can touch me. You know, I didn't do all of these things that I was supposed to do. The minute you bring doubt in, the minute you bring your works and your efforts in, you actually stunt your miracle. And you actually stop things from happening in your life. We can't do more to make things happen. We just have to believe, friends. We can't act more. We can't work more. We just have to believe. The pressure to make things happen will cause us to miss. When we put pressure on ourselves to say, hey, we've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to work, we actually will miss out what God already has. All we have to do is trust in what He has already promised. If God said it, He will do it. Do we really believe it? If God said He's going to bless you, if He's promised you, then you have to step in and you have to believe it. See, religion makes us think that we have to help God somehow. that we have to step in and we have to work and help God do it, because maybe he just can't do it on his own, or maybe my works will help him and push him over the edge and make him do what I'm asking him to do. Do you remember Abraham and Sarah? God promised them a child. And God came to them and said, you will have a son. And some time had passed after they received that promise. And Sarah began to doubt. And she said, you know, I'm old. God said this thing, but it's been a while and it hasn't happened. So Abraham, let's help God. I want you to go and see that girl Hagar. Go and make a baby with her. And then that way we will have the son that God promised. But God didn't promise the son to Abraham and Hagar. He promised it to Abraham and Sarah. But Sarah began to doubt, and she decided that she was going to work for it and help God with her miracle. And so she sent her husband to work for it, and Hagar ends up pregnant. And then we get Ishmael. And instead of it being this big, beautiful miracle that was supposed to happen for Abraham and Sarah, we get this big, stupid, big, man-made mess. And then Ishmael becomes a thorn in their side. And you know what happened in the end? Isaac came. If they just waited, if they just stood in faith, they would have received Isaac without Ishmael. They didn't have to help God. If they just believe, see, sometimes we think we got to help God do things. We don't have to help God do anything. I want to tell you guys today, God doesn't need our help. He needs our faith. He wants our faith. God doesn't need us to help him do anything. He doesn't need us to work for anything. He just needs us to come and rest in him in faith. That's all he wants. And so Abraham and Sarah, they do this thing, and Abraham went along with it, and now they have this big mess. See, when we doubt God's provision and his ability to do what he said he will do, then we turn to our own efforts and we try to make it happen for ourselves. Well, I know God promised me this, but I'm just going to go do this. I know God said, you know, he's going to heal me, but I'm just going to go and, to talk to all these specialists and do all these things and try and make it happen for myself. When we doubt God's provision and his ability to do what he said he will do, we block the miracle, and we cut ourselves off from what he has. See, grace invites us to trust him and to rest in him, to trust that it is finished and that everything I need, he has already provided. Everything we need, friends, he has already provided. Grace invites us to believe that God will actually be faithful and fulfill his promise to us. Grace actually calls us into standing in faith and believing, God, what you said you would do, you're going to do. God, you said it, I believe it. Do we really believe it? Rest, faith in him. No more works. We're invited to believe that God will do what he said he will do. When we have faith, the manifestations of the Spirit start to happen. We've seen this all the time in our house. We've seen all of the miracles that we've seen. See, when faith is activated, miracles happen. When faith is activated, the supernatural starts to happen. When faith is activated, supernatural occurrences are happening. The kingdom of heaven comes to earth. See, when faith is activated, then there are all of these unlimitless, amazing, impossible things that happen. Healings, things that doctors said could never be healed are healed. Arms grow out, limbs grow out, metal plates disappear. People are healed from sciatica. That was me. Amazing things happen if we believe. See, when we start to doubt, friends, we cancel ourselves. We go without, as Pastor says. We are called to be believers, not doubters. We are called believers in Jesus, not doubters in Jesus. We are believers. Mark 9:23 says this, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast, thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. All things are possible to them who believe. All things are possible to them who believe. Not some things. Not limited things. All things. All things. Whatever you have need of, friends, tonight, I want to tell you that when you believe in faith, it is available to you. All things are available to them that believe. I have one more point to make. Jesus is calling us to rest in faith. In Exodus 4:13, we see this. When God was talking to Moses, he says, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What is he saying? He's like, you know what? Just come here and rest and watch me move. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Come and rest in me and watch me move. Come and rest in me and see me do it. Come and rest in me and watch me fulfill my promise to you. Come and rest, my friends. Come and rest. Come and rest in him and receive everything that you have need of. Come and rest and watch your God be your God. Come and rest. Rest in him. Rest in him and believe and watch him move. He doesn't need our works, friends. Resting in faith in him leads to great things. Resting in faith in him leads to life-changing things. Resting in faith in him leads to greatness. If you want to see great miracles and breakthroughs, then you need to learn to rest in his faith. You have something that you're believing for that you need tonight. You need to learn to rest in his faith. You have something that you've been asking God for. I want to tell you, friends, we just need to learn to rest in his faith. He will do it. He is faithful to complete that which he said he would do. You want to see the supernatural? Rest in his faith. When we rest in faith, you know what we're saying? We're like, God, I believe you. I believe you're actually going to do what you said. I believe that you're actually going to move like you said you would. I believe you're actually going to fulfill your promise to me. I believe you're faithful. When we rest, we're actually saying, God, I believe you. You have already made the way, and I'm going to rest in that. I'm not going to work for anything. I'm just going to believe that you have done it already. The price has already been paid. I don't have to do anything. God responds, when we rest in faith, let me show you my strength. Faith has a response. Faith has a response, guys. This is how the kingdom works. You rest, he acts. You surrender, he delivers. You trust, he finishes. He does what it is that he said he was going to do. See, the kingdom doesn't have an end when we stand in faith. There's no end to what we can see and what we can receive and what we can do. I love the story of Ruth and Naomi. You know, we talked about Naomi a couple of weeks ago and their story. And just to give you a little background, if you don't know them, Naomi was an older woman. She had two sons. They were both married. And then she had two daughter-in-laws. And her sons died and her husband died. And now she was left with her two daughter-in-laws. And one of her daughter-in-laws was named Ruth. And so Naomi says to them, well, you know what? Like, look, there's nothing here for me anymore. My husband is dead. My sons are dead. You guys need to go back to your home. Go back to your families. I'm going to go back to my home. At this time, they were living in Moab, and Naomi was from Bethlehem. So she's like, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. You guys stay here in Moab with your families. Go and live your life. Maybe you'll find another husband. Like, go. I can't give you any more kids. Like, I'm done. I'm old. Goodbye. I'm leaving. And Ruth said, no, I'm not leaving you. Ruth goes to Naomi and said, listen, like wherever you go, I'm going to go. And in the book of Ruth, in chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, we see that these words that she famously uttered that have been used so many times and so many things. But Ruth goes to Naomi and she says, listen, Ruth, listen, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge. and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. And wherever you go, I will go there with you. I will be buried where you go. Naomi, you're not getting rid of me. I'm with you. And so Naomi's like, okay. I mean, after that profession, how do you send someone away, you know? So Naomi's like, okay, come on, Ruth, let's go back to Bethlehem. And so they go back to Bethlehem, and Ruth begins to work in the fields of the wheat fields. There was like this big wheat field there, and Ruth goes there, and she starts to work in the fields. And there was a man named Boaz who actually owned this field, and he was a wealthy landowner and a relative of Naomi. And so according to Jewish law, Boaz qualifies as the kinsman redeemer for Naomi's family. So what that means is he could be someone who could redeem Ruth by marrying her and restoring her to a good future. And so Boaz is here now in Bethlehem, and he has this big field and he has this wheat field, and Naomi knows who he is. So Naomi says to Ruth, she's like, you know what? I want you to go to the threshing floor, and I want you to uncover his feet and then lay down. Don't say anything to him. Go and uncover his feet and lay down. And so Ruth does it, and she goes to Boaz, and Boaz sees what she does. He sees her laying there. He sees her just laying at his feet. And he was moved by her faith, and he was moved by her humility. And in that moment, he promises that he's going to take care of everything. Naomi told Ruth, go and rest at his feet. Boaz sees her faith and her humility and says, I'm going to take care of everything. But then Naomi, we see in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, she says something even more powerful. She says, sit still, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. The man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. He will not rest. I want to say that again. The man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. Naomi was saying, Ruth, you've done your part. Now rest. It is time for the kinsman's redeemer to do his part. And so Boaz, the redeemer, would not rest until Ruth had secured her redemption. Boaz, the redeemer, would not rest until Ruth had secured her future, that she had come into a better place. And see, I want to tell you this today, friends. Your redeemer will do his part when you rest in faith in him. Boaz, we see in this story, he's a type and shadow of Jesus. And just like Boaz, I want to tell you today, guys, no matter what you bring to the feet of Jesus, Jesus, your Redeemer, will do the thing that he said he will do. Jesus will fulfill his promise to you. Jesus will follow through. And just like Boaz, he would not rest until Ruth was fully redeemed. I want to tell you today that Jesus will not stop moving in your life until you get where you're supposed to be, until you receive what you're supposed to receive, until you are resting completely in his finished work. Every part of your life must reflect his finished work. Every part. God is not a halfway God. He does everything all the way in. And I want to tell you today, everything has to line up with the kingdom, and Jesus will not stop. Oh, church, if only we would get this. If only we would understand what he has actually done and what we are required to do. The only thing we're required to do is rest in faith. It is finished. It is finished. Everything that we have need of, Jesus has already provided. It is finished, friends. It is finished. We don't have to strive. We just need to sit still and rest. And he will do what he said he will do. He will do what he said he will do. The Redeemer is working, my friends. And when you rest in him, he will move on your behalf. I promise you, he is faithful. He will do exactly what it is that he said he will do. No more works, just rest.